Welcome back. This is episode 523 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. And just a few moments ago, the New York Yankees swept the Boston Red Sox right out of their own damn building. The Yankees went up to Fenway Park this week and took three straight against the Red Sox. Last time we sat here and did an episode of NYYST, I was sitting here contemplating whether or not the Boone swoon was hitting in mid-April, because the Yankees had just lost five in a row, a maddening sweep against the Tampa Bay Rays. Then they came home, and they had a very mixed series against the Angels. Well, really, the Angels outplayed the Yankees. It took some late heroics or failures from Jordan Romano for the Yankees to even earn a split in that series. And then the Kansas City Royals came to town, and all has been right with the Yankees since then, because now the Yankees are on a six-game winning streak. They're 16-9. They have the best record in the American League. And what you really liked about the New York Yankees this week is that they went up to Boston and they took care of business. The New York Yankees do not play well inside of their own division. We saw that earlier in the year against the Tampa Bay Rays. So even though a lot of people don't have a lot of respect for the Boston offense, the Yankee starters went out there this week and just completely shut down Boston's offense. They did just enough offensively, and the Yankees picked up three much-needed wins. We all know the key to the Yankees season here, one of them is going to be playing well with inside this division. So when you go up to Boston, whether or not the fans respect Boston, it's important for the Yankees to go and get those W's, and they did that. We start with Luis Gil, 6 3 scoreless. Yankees win 4-0. That was the excuse me. That was the Giancarlo Stanton game. Giancarlo Stanton with the big home run. And they win that game. Then we move to Wednesday night. You got Max Fried on the bump. 8 innings, scoreless ball. That's the Admed Rosario game. Drives in all four runs. Hedrick, who we'll get to in a second here, gives up a run in the 9th inning. Yankees win 4-1. Then we move to tonight's game, which I'll be honest, I was a little in and out on. Didn't really catch it till midway through. We had softball practice tonight, and by the time it got over and we got home, had a little something to eat. The Yankees were down 2-1. Cam didn't look his most dominant tonight, but they were able to rally in the 7th inning with a big clutch RBI, two RBI single from Cody Bellinger. And then Aaron Judge tacked one on. Cam got through the 8th, allowed just one earned run, 2 overall. And then Bednar slammed the door in the 9th. The last couple of outings from Bednar, he's mowing him down here. We always talked about Bednar and the agita he induces. Not so much recently. Couple of really, really clean outings to how do you call it, to ease the Yankees into some wins here recently. Anyway, excuse me, a little off kilter here. I'm trying to follow the draft. The Giants are on the clock here with the 10th pick after they took Arvell Reese with the 5th pick. But let's focus in on the Yankees here. We'll catch up on the draft in a minute here. Just somebody was texting me about it. My Bronx or Nowhere partner, Kevin Cruz, who we've done a couple episodes of the Bronx or Nowhere since the last NYYST episode. So if you don't want to miss anything that I'm doing here, make sure you are subscribed on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now so you don't miss any new episodes of NYYST. This is our final season. We want you to be a part of every single thing that we're doing here. And also, please go on to NYY Underground on YouTube. Subscribe there so you don't miss any new episodes of the Bronx or Nowhere. Game Season Live, the Designated Spitters, anything that's going on over at NYY Underground, okay? So tonight, you look at Cam Schlittler, and Cam Schlittler was not his dominant self tonight. He had five strikeouts. The fastball wasn't sitting upper 90s like you usually see it. But what he did is he went out there and he threw a winning baseball game. And sometimes that's all you can ask out of your starting pitcher is if you don't have your best stuff, deliver me a win. And that's what Cam Schlittler did tonight. And that's what you like to see out of a young pitcher. Don't fold when you don't have your best stuff. And he went up there and he shut the Red Sox down for eight innings. He allowed two runs overall, one earned, and he got the Yankees 24 outs, which is huge because even though the Yankees had an off day on Monday, they're in a stretch here where they're playing nine consecutive games, and they really only have a couple of guys in that bullpen that they trust: David Bednar, Tim Hill, and Brent Hedrick. And Brent Hedrick, as of last night, had pitched in 15 of the Yankees' 24 games, which puts them on pace for 101 appearances this year. So to give Brent Hedrick a night off was a job well done by Cam Schlittler. And you look at the starting rotation and the capabilities that it has when Cam Schlittler goes out there and gives you one earned over eight. And that's backed up after Max Fried gives you eight shutout innings, and Max Fried's curveball and changeup were devastating on Wednesday night. Boston stood absolutely no chance against either of those pitches. That was backed up by a really good performance by Luis Gil, where he went out there and he historically pitches well against the Red Sox, but gives you six and a third scoreless. And that you know that you have Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon coming back. This rotation has the chance to truly be special this season. And we're talking about a guy in Luis Gil that, as unfair it might be, is probably on the outside looking in when Cole and Rodon are coming back. Because Will Warren, to me, is going to hold that seat for being a guy that was reliable for 33 starts this year and has pitched really friggin' well through the start of 2026. So I know we talked about this a lot, and I know people get mad. It's like, well, we'll talk about this when it's time to talk about it. But this is a Yankee podcast, and we talk about Yankee stuff, and this is something that we're going to talk about. Can the problem, quote, work itself out? Yeah, but we don't want the problem to, quote, work itself out. We want the Yankees to have to be able to make tough decisions, which means everybody is healthy and everybody's pitching well. So if everybody's healthy and everybody's pitching well, I always lean towards Ryan Weathers. Congratulations, new dad, Ryan Weathers, because of the innings. And they're just not going to be there after he threw 38 last year. So eventually he's going to have to be bumped. And then you look at Luis Gil, as unfair as it might be, if he's going to continue to give outings like he gave the Yankees on Tuesday night, I just don't know how you tell Will Warren he can't be in the rotation. And obviously the Yankees aren't trading Ryan Weathers. They just acquired him. They have a ton of control over him. And I know this might be unpopular with a lot of Yankee fans, but you probably have to look to trade Luis Gil. This team can't hit. Let's be real. They beat up on the Royals over the weekend. They had one of these vintage Yankee series where they scored a bunch of runs via the home run. They beat up on a team that they're clearly better than. But that's not been the norm this year. They've won a lot of these lower scoring games because their pitching has been so good for the most part. But they're going to need to import a big bat here. And how do you do that? You trade a really good starting pitcher with a couple of years of control. So Luis Gil, Will Warren, those are the guys that fit in that bill there. Because obviously you're not trading Cam Schlittler. He's your future ace. Max Fried is your ace. Carlos Rodon makes too much money to trade. And you're not going to get a big bat for him. Probably just going to get a mid. If you wanted to trade him, you'd be trading salary for salary, and you're probably not going to get the type of impact bat that you probably need. And obviously, you're not trading Gerrit Cole. The Yankees wouldn't do that. they see Gerrit Cole as the missing piece. The Yankees, we talked about this a lot. The Yankees viewed Gerrit Cole as the missing piece to go into the World Series last year, so they're not going to trade him. And Cole had a rehab outing Thursday night. He gave up a couple of runs, but it doesn't matter. It's about getting the work in. So he's working his way back. And then as far as I last saw, Rodon was pitching on Friday in Hudson Valley. So these guys are coming back. This is going to be – this decision has to be made sooner than probably people realize or want to realize. So – and then you look at Luis Gil. You know, when you got guys like Elmer Rodriguez and Carlos Legrand, hey, too, where does he fit in? You know you need a big bat because you look at the top of this lineup, and we talked about this on the Bronx or Nowhere on Monday night. Do you toy with the idea of Bellinger hitting leadoff? Get your three best hitters up in the first inning because you have to bat Rice and Judge back-to-back. Whichever way you want to do it, Rice, Judge, Judge, Rice, it doesn't matter. But to me, the Yankees would probably want to go left, right, it would then stand in a cleanup spot. So do you toy with the idea of Cody Bellinger as the leadoff guy, a guy that has an approach up there, guy that has a pretty good on-base percentage, and then go Judge Rice in a more of a premium run-producing spot with Stanton as a cleanup hitter, and then, I don't know, you'll have to find another. And then it starts getting dicey there because Jazz had his first home run tonight. But it was a pesky pull home run. Those are cheaper. Those are like real cheap home runs. Everybody wants to knock the porch, but I mean, a pesky pull home run shouldn't even count. Ryan McMahon can't hit. Ahmed Rosario, and we got to talk about this here. Ahmed Rosario, the one thing Aaron Boone has said is that lefty righty doesn't matter. If Max Fried is on the mound, he wants Ryan McMahon at third base, and this is now twice this year that Ahmed Rosario has started at third base with Max Fried on the mound. The thing with Ryan McMahon is the money owed to him. You can want to go down that path of saying, well, you see how they're trying to insert Rosario more and more, and even in situations where they weren't initially going to play him. Well, like we said, he makes $16 million this year. He makes $16 million next year. And they're paying DJ LeMahieu $15 million. So are the Yankees just eating $31 million this year at the third base position? And I know Rosario makes $2 million. So it's not, you wouldn't go out and really acquire anybody. I guess you would just give the job to Rosario and then have a caddy. Maybe you would call up Cabrera. I don't know. But I think the Yankees do like McMahon's defense. And then you saw him. McMahon came in the game on Wednesday. What a difference maker he can be. So you really only, this is what frustrates you about Ryan McMahon. He is so good defensively. You're not even asking a lot out of him with the bat. I think it was Joel Sherman that said that when the Yankees made the trade, they were asking for a 650 OPS. That's like 65 points lower than league average. I think league average last year was around 715. So they're asking him to be 65 points lower than league average because that's how much value he brings with the glove. So if you can be a guy and Ryan McMahon, that hits even around 690. You're flirting with 700. And you give the Yankees 20 porches. With that defense, what a valuable asset. And he really does become worth the contract. But can he give the Yankees 690? I don't know. He misses, and Paul O'Neill has talked about this. I have not seen a guy miss so many hittable pitches probably ever in my life. He seems to be always like in the spot to hit it. He just misses them. So you're looking at that, and then you look at third base, maybe in-house improvement. You play Rosario a little bit more. Maybe he has a little bit of a late bloomer season where he can hit 20, 25 home runs and give the Yankees a 780-ish OPS possible. But Jazz has been awful this year. Austin Wells has been awful this year. Trent Grisham, for the most part, has been awful this year. Austin Wells has been awful this year. It's a lot of dead wood at the end of this lineup. They're going to have to bring somebody in to lengthen this lineup out. And Stan had a really good first two games here, and then he had a bad third game. So Stan, not really all the way back to being Big G. He was swinging the dig bick for the first two games, and then that strikeout with the bases loaded with nobody out. Forget the inning because I was like just coming home, like the fourth or fifth, whenever it was. Killer. Really set up the inning for failure. Because then you got Randall Grichuk coming up next. So, I mean, you look at the Yankees lineup here, and you're just looking at a lineup that has a lot of dead spots on it. And if they're going to continue to pitch like this, they're going to win a lot of games, obviously, with Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger and Ben Rice. These guys will produce just enough with the way this team is pitching. But you're also going to need outings like you got from Cam Schlittler and Max Fried, where this team is going 7-8 innings every night, because you want to limit the amount of guys you're bringing in from this bullpen, because you really trust Bednar, Hill, Hedrick, and probably Fernando Cruz. And you can't keep throwing Hedrick out there every night. As I said earlier, the guy's on pace for 101 appearances. Obviously, that's not going to happen because his arm will fall off by Memorial Day, but you're going to have to slow him down a little bit and kind of work somebody else in here. So the Yankees have a surplus of starting pitching. They need a big bat, and they need a big arm in the bullpen. It's just, where do you go? And I think the Yankees can fill their bullpen void a little bit easier than they can the offensive one, because I don't look. Do I think if they brought up Jason Dominguez and played him every day, he could positively in a big way impact the offense? Yes, I do. But the problem is there's nowhere for him to play. The Yankees are not cutting ties and admitting that on Trent Grisham. So if they had an infielder per se, it would probably be a lot easier for the Yankees to make a move like that and start and call up an infielder and play him every day, which is why I keep going back to this point of wanting George Lombard to go to Scranton. Get him up there and let him get May and June in AAA, and let's see what he's doing. And if he continues to scorch the ball, then he's up here before the trade deadline. The more time he spends in AA, the further this gets kicked down the road here, where maybe he's not a viable option this year. So that's their only in-house option, really. In-house options for bullpen? Yeah, Ryan Weathers when he gets out of the rotation. I still think LeGrande is going to be a big part of this bullpen at some point during this year. So you have those two guys. You know, I understand that, you know, we're looking at big picture things here, and we're going to look at big picture things a lot here this year. Because as I said once, and I'll say it again, as much as I'm going to be in front of the TV at 7:05 every single night, as much as I'm going to watch every pitch that I humanly can hear, obviously, you know, tonight coaching up my Lady Hornets, where we didn't get it home until middle of the game, and then, you know, obviously having to feed a hungry 6-year-old, soon to be, you know, I really didn't lock in until about the 7th inning. Sometimes life gets in the way, but trying to get in every pitch that you possibly can, yeah, 100%. Judge has a big game, going to be pumped up. Cam Max throws a gem, going to be pumped up. I know this team is going to the postseason. There's one thing that really can keep the Yankees from going to the postseason. We will never say it out loud on here. I'm sure you guys can figure it out. It's how do the Yankees get the optimal path to the World Series and how do they get to the World Series. That's why when they were on the losing streak, it bugged me out, and I maybe was a little more tense about it than I normally would be in April because all the warts were showing in that time period. But as we said, this is the final season. It's been 10 years of this, right? We want to end with a championship. And I'm just gotten to the point where I don't want to gaslight myself into thinking this is a championship team. I want to figure it out now, if that makes any sense. So I have this, even when they were going through the mini Boone swoon, I had the utmost confidence they were going to the playoffs. I never wavered on the playoffs. It just, you know, is it going to be a quick in and out, like the Grandpa Simpson meme for them in the postseason? Because that we can't have. You got Gerrit Cole coming back. You got maybe the last season of Aaron Judge's prime. And I'm not worried about the batting average. I go back to 2024. The power's there. He's on pace for 55-plus home runs. I'm not worried at all. You'd like to get G a ring. He's down to his final two seasons here. So, and this is our final one. I would love just once to not have to do fan therapy and celebrate a world championship. And what better year to do it than the final one? So, yeah, we're going to come on here. We're going to talk about things that happen in the games, but we're also, a lot of this season is going to be spent looking at the bigger picture. Nobody in the American League, there are not, with the three wild cards, and you have to take into the fact that the Yankees are not eligible for two of the postseason berths, there are not six teams that are better than the Yankees in the American League. Let's just be realistic about that. Whether or not the Yankees are good enough to get through the American League and beat the Dodgers is a different story, and that's the only story I care about reading this year. So it was a really, I don't want to say statement series up in Boston, but when this team had its first taste of the American League East this year and got embarrassed, because let's be honest, it was embarrassing the way they played in Tampa and got swept, to go up there in Boston and sweep the Red Sox was really good. It was a good sign for this team. Now go to Houston, who's having pitching problems, and sweep them. Go down there and play good baseball in Houston. I know you just threw your two best, but who cares? Yordan Alvarez is playing like an MVP. Okay, navigate him and win two games. Asking for too much to win three. Okay, you never want to say go down there and sweep. All right, win two. Give me a winning series. It's so vital for the Yankees to play well within this division. That's why this was a big series for them. Whether or not fans of the Yankees want to respect Boston's offense, and one of the dads that coaches with me is from Connecticut and a huge Red Sox fan, and he was like, this is the worst Boston Red Sox offense I can never remember in a long time. And I was like, you can say that. I'm not going to say that because I ain't going to jinx it. Okay? I'm not jinxing it. And maybe it is. But still, the Yankees went up there and held Boston to two earned runs in Fenway Park. It's not an easy thing to do. They scored just enough runs. Got a big home run from G, got a big home run from Ahmed Rosario, got a big two-run single from Cody Bellinger, and it was more than enough to sweep this series. That's how you go and win a division. You beat the teams in your division. So right now the Yankees are 3-3 in the division. Let's put Tampa behind us and continue to win series in the division. Like I said, we want to talk about the bigger picture. The way to the World Series is game one of the American League Division Series is played at Yankee Stadium. That's step one in getting to the World Series. Well, so how do you achieve that goal? You win your division. And how do you achieve that goal? You play well in the division. That's why this was a big, 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 big series for the New York Yankees, and it was a excellent statement that they made up in Boston, going up there, pitching well, getting enough big hits, and sweeping the Red Sox. Okay? So that's the on-field stuff, and we'll close the show with the off-field stuff because this was a big story on Wednesday that the New York Yankees now have alternate uniforms. And apparently it was pushed by the players led by Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton that they want to wear their Navy batting practice jerseys as alternates. I do not care. Honestly, and Aaron Judge said it best, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but he said, "I'm all for tradition, but we have an insurance patch on our jerseys." It's not lying. I've always liked the batting practice jerseys. It seems like maybe they're leaning more towards doing it just on the road with the New York across the chest instead of the blue NY ones at home, which is fine by me. I would rather keep the pinstripes always and do a little alternate on the road. I know people yelling, the old man yelling at the clouds. That's not going to be me here. I'm not the old man yelling at the clouds about this because I like those jerseys. You want to switch it up a little bit? It's still traditional enough, but different. So I have no problem with it. I know Kay was going on this friggin' rant earlier on Thursday about you asking for all this crap. How about winning a championship? Fair. All right. They want all these things. They want the music. They want jerseys. How about winning a title? That's the only thing I can say here is that why don't you be more concerned with what you're wearing or not on your finger than you are with what you're wearing on your chest here? Because that's the most important thing, winning a friggin' championship. So I do wish the Yankees were a little bit more concerned about what's not being worn on their fingers than they were about being what's worn or not worn on their chest. But do I have a problem with them wanting to wear the batting practice road jerseys? No. Spruce it up a little bit. And if you guys remember, all your traditionalists out there, okay, this is not even their original road uniforms. They just changed it like 3 years ago. They took out the white piping. So, you know, what do you change? It's the road uniform that they just changed 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it was. I honestly, man, it's not like they're wearing Grimace City Connects like the Mets do. If they did some weird shit like that, then yeah, it would piss me off. And John Carlos said, "I would like City Connects," but he goes, "I'm probably not going to go that far because most, you know, a lot of them suck." So am I going that far? And would they had if they had City Connects that were like taxi yellow? Yeah, that would. No, you can't have that. Wear the midnight blue New York on the road? No, come on. What's the harm? Honestly, what's the harm in that? They got beards now. They got insurance patches. Let them have an alternate on the road. And the funny thing about this, they're just like the music, right? The music was such a big story that was a few weeks ago. The players wanted the music, and they wanted that atmosphere at the games. That story that was out in Yankee Universe a week or so ago was written last year. Just like the Yankees confirmed that they were approved to use the alternate jerseys at the beginning of the 2025 season. So why was the story yesterday? I don't know. I was busy yesterday and really deep dive into why that was a story. But they got approved for the jerseys in 25. They never used them. So maybe they never use them. Who knows? But would it bother me if the Yankees are in Houston tomorrow and, you know, instead of Friday Blues they're wearing? No. You know, and this whole thing about, oh, they're not the Yankees anymore. They're not the Yankees anymore because they have beards and and this and that. And look, the Yankees have to win championships. That's how they're the Yankees. What they're wearing or not wearing on their backs, on their faces, whatever. The reason why a lot of people have said this, and it's fair, and it's fair. I'll be fair, and I'll say it's fair, that people are pissed about this current group of Yankees making all these changes to tradition. They haven't won shit. You want to get beards? Win a title. You want alternate road jerseys? Win a title. And they did the beards for a guy that's still puking on himself in New York. The Mets, who they did, they broke the streak at 12, and last I checked, they had a big lead on Minnesota, so they might get a winning streak going here. Let's actually look that up right now. Are the Mets going on a winning streak here? Oh, the Metsies are up 7-3 in the eighth inning. Okay, so the Mets, 11-game losing streak. Devin Williams on the mound, trying to keep a game tied to give him a chance to win in the ninth inning. Walks three of the five batters he faces, and the Met fans, taking that victory lap last year as Devin Williams puked all over himself time after time on the mound at Yankee Stadium. Pete broke Devin. Taking that victory lap. And then Gary Cohen had something very interesting to say during that implosion by Devin Williams, is that Devin Williams admitted that Pete broke him. And the reason why he got off to such a bad start for the Yankees is that home run affected him and he never got in the right mind space. Why this guy wanted another crack in New York, and I know money talks, why he wanted another crack in New York is beyond me. He's a low-leverage guy. And when Met fans were like, well, we'll fix Devin, you can't fix that, bro. You cannot fix that. You either have it or you don't. And what I'm talking about is balls. That's why Give me David Bednar 11 times out of 10 over Devin Williams, because that man will step on the mound and won't be afraid of the situation. And if he gives it up, hey, he got beat. Whereas Devin Williams is afraid of his own friggin' shadow, and if he gives it up, it's because he's too scared for the moment. I don't want that guy. Met fans shouldn't want that guy. Don't have that bravado that like, oh, he sucked for you, but he'll return to form for us. Please, it's April. You can't even close him. It's already a disaster. Whereas Luke Weaver, as much as, you know, I really wanted to, lucky 13, I didn't want that to happen to Luke Weaver on Wednesday night. So I was happy that he had that big outing and got the Mets that win. For Luke Weaver, I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for our ferocious jungle cat, even though he scurried off to Queens like a rat. I know the Yankees didn't want him back. I'm just saying, okay? But, yeah. So, are you still taking that victory lap, Met fans? Oh, Pete broke Devin. And he ain't been fixed, and he ain't never going to be fixed. It's like Rocky said in Creed 2. Drago broke things in him that ain't never going to be fixed. Well, I don't want to compare Pete Alonso to Ivan Drago. And certainly I'm not comparing Devin Williams to Rocky Balboa. But Pete Alonso broke things in Devin Williams that ain't never going to be fixed. Well, hopefully one thing that's not going to be fixed, if you're a Houston Astros fan, okay, or if you're a Yankee fan, I should say, is the Astros pitching issues, because they're having a lot of them apparently. And the Yankees are coming to Houston starting on Friday night here, 8-10, with Will Warren against Lance McCullers Jr., former NYYST guest Lance McCullers Jr., okay? 7-10 on Saturday for Ryan Weathers, who will be back off paternity leave, against Mike Burrows. So far, you got Lance McCullers 6-20, Burrow's six. What was that? 675? Is that what I saw there? Yep, 675. And then we're closing it out with Luis Gil against Arrigetti, who's actually pitching well, 245. So, hey, you know what? Go take the first two. Go take the first two, and let's see what happens against Spencer Arrigetti in the finale here. I'm not asking for too much, right? So that's the look ahead here as the Yankees hit Houston after the Yankees just completed a sweep of the Boston Red Sox. So the Yankees are 16-9, best team in the AL. Just keep it rolling here, man. Keep it rolling. Stack wins, stack series wins. Keep playing well in the division. Let's win this division. It's only April. Stop. The Yankees finished in a dead tie last year. One loss in anywhere. Pick it out. Put the Yankees in a wild card series. They need to avoid that this year. So keep rolling here. Six-game winning streak heading into Houston. And please keep the love coming for NYYST. We would love to see you guys leave us a five-star rating and review. Give us a little love here in our final season ever. And make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss any episodes throughout the course of the season. Make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground so you don't miss any episodes of The Bronx or Nowhere. We'll be back there live on April 30th. We'll be back here on NYYST with a brand new episode Monday morning. Confused by the dates? Just subscribe. NYYST on your favorite podcast platform, NYY Underground on YouTube. You're subscribed, you don't miss anything. Bang. And make sure you tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We love you guys so much. Thank you for your continued support of the show in our final season. This has been episode 523. Thank you so much for listening to it, and I'll see you next time.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.